The following Compass presentation from the Stealing the Mind of America conference, entitled Why Evolutionists Are Changing to Abrupt Appearance, is by Kent Hovind. For a complete listing of all of Compass books and tapes, call 800-977-2177 or check our website, www.compass.org.
Honored to be here this morning. It is kind of early, though. My wife said if the Lord wanted her to see the sunrise, he'd have scheduled it later in the day. Anybody else feel that way about it? Amen. Thank you. Well, I'm sure honored to be here. Appreciate Brother Chuck inviting me. This is a great blessing. I've sure enjoyed his ministry over the years and enjoy the great speakers you have here at the conference. My name is Kent Hovind. It has been for a long time. I was a high school science teacher for 15 years, and now for the last 11 years, I've been an evangelist, and I travel and speak on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. How many have been to one of my seminars or seen one of my tapes before? How many never have? And how many do not understand the question so far? All right. Well, good. Well, I tell folks before I get going too far, I believe the Bible is the infallible, inspired, inerrant word of the living God. I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe the cover on mine. It says Kent Hovind. I believe that. And what I try to do in my seminars, I try to strengthen your faith in the Word of God, number one. Number two, if you're not saved, I'm going to try to get you saved. And number three, if you're saved and you're not doing much for the Lord, then I'm going to try to make you uncomfortable. So I told you right up front what the goals are. We'll see how well we do. They asked me to speak this week on why our evolution is changing to abrupt appearance. They used to teach for years there was gradual changes. Why did they change to abrupt appearance? Well, let me give you kind of the history here. Charlie Darwin graduated from Bible college to be a preacher at age 22 in 1830. A year later, he set sail on board the Beagle, HMS Beagle. He's going to sail around and collect bugs for somebody back in England. As he sailed around on this boat, he brought some books with him. He brought his Bible, of course, and he brought a book by Charles Lyell that was hot off the press in 1830. Darwin said that book changed his life forever. In that book, Charles Lyell scoffed and mocked at God's word, and he said the earth is millions of years old, and Charles Lyell is the primary fellow responsible for inventing what we have today as the geologic column. How many have ever heard of that before? You know, Cenozoic, Mesozoic, Paleozoic. Charles Lyell invented most of that, and he talked about it in his book right there, and that book changed Darwin's life. Darwin later said, "Disbelief crept over me slowly. I felt no distress." He slowly lost his faith in God's word. As Charlie sailed around the world, he came to the Galapagos Islands right there by South America. He noticed there were 14 different kinds of finches on these islands. He studied the birds carefully and decided that probably all those finches came from a common ancestor. I bet you're right, Charlie. It was a bird. And then Charlie said in his book on page 170, he said, "You know, it is a truly wonderful fact that all animals and all plants throughout all time and space should be related to each other." Now, hold on a minute. You see 14 kinds of birds, and you conclude the birds and the bananas are related? I don't think so, Charlie. Okay? And so Charlie started this idea of gradual change. He said, "If my theory be true, numberless intermediate varieties must assuredly have existed." Boy, you're right there, Charlie. There must have been millions of them. But in the years after Darwin, his advocates hoped to find predictable progressions. In general, these have not been found. Yet the optimism has died hard, and some pure fantasy has crept into textbooks. You're kidding. Fantasy in the textbooks? Oh, absolutely. We'll cover some of that. See, there's not a missing link, folks. The whole chain is missing. Even guys like Stephen Gould, the communist professor at Harvard University, will say the absence of fossil evidence for intermediate stages has been a nagging problem for evolution. You know, we know the theory is true, now we just need the evidence. Well, that'll go real far in a court of law, won't it? See, what Charlie observed is often called microevolution. Now, I don't like that word. I think it's a lousy word. We ought to be calling it variations. It's probably just a variation of the created kind. It's true that dogs produce a variety of dogs and roses produce a variety of roses. This is observable. It is scientific. It's also scriptural. This is a fact, folks. Microevolution happens. You might get a big dog or a little dog, but it's still a dog. And it's probably true that the coyote, the wolf, and the dog had a common ancestor. But a three-year-old can tell you it's the same kind of animal. Let's have a test here. Boys and girls, here we have a dog, a wolf, a coyote, and a banana. Which one is not like the others? Who thinks they can figure it out? Now, a three-year-old will figure that one out. See, the Bible says 10 times the animals and plants are going to bring forth after his kind. Now, if you're going to get into a discussion on evolution, I recommend you not use the word species. Just stick with the Bible word kind. Those that were originally able to reproduce. Those are the same kind of animal, and that's all we've ever observed. Here's the problem. I've done 50 debates now with evolutionists all across the country, and I'm anxious for another one. I just can't find an opponent. But the word evolution has at least 6 different meanings. And if you want to win the debate on evolution, the first thing you need to do is define the term. What do you mean by evolution? See, first we'd have to have cosmic evolution. That's the Big Bang. There's no evidence for that. Then the Big Bang produced hydrogen. How did the other chemicals get here? Why are there 92 elements? How do you get uranium from hydrogen? And then we'd have to have stellar evolution. You know, nobody's ever seen one star form. We've seen thousands blow up. Nobody's ever seen one form. I had an atheist professor one time. He said, you know, we figured out if 20 stars explode near each other, called a supernova, it'll create enough energy to make a star. Oh, you got to lose 20 to gain one. I bet you're a Democrat, aren't you? Yep. You're one of those guys that believes we can borrow our way out of debt. Nobody's ever seen a star form, folks. And then we have organic evolution. That's the origin of life. Nobody's ever seen that. And then we have macroevolution. That's changing from one kind of animal to another. Nobody's ever seen that. And then we have microevolution. Well, finally, we have one that is scientific. See, the first 5 are religious. They have to believe those. They take those on faith. And they confuse the kids with a little bit of science from microevolution and try to make them believe that this applies to the other 5, and it does not. See, they keep looking for these gradual series of fossils. They've been looking for it for 125 years, folks. There aren't any gradual changes. Darwin envisioned this evolutionary process. He thought it might happen with gradual change, but most species remain recognizably themselves, virtually unchanged throughout their geologic sediments. Niles Eldridge is a strong believer in evolution. He says, look, we don't see any evidence for it. So he is one of the guys going to this idea of abrupt appearance. You see, the evolution theory basically teaches 20 billion years ago, there was a Big Bang where nothing exploded and produced everything. They asked me to speak at this college in Boston one time. They said, you can speak at our college if our professors can ask you any questions they want. Because we want to show our students how dumb you creationists really are. I said, I'd be honored to come for that. And so I showed up, and there were 6 professors and all their students in the room, and I said, now, folks, I believe the Bible. Nobody cheered. And I told them what I believed about, you know, the earth is about 6,000 years old, and God made it in 6 days, and, you know, Noah had the big ark in the flood 4,400 years ago. And then I told them what they believed, because honestly, I've learned most evolutionists don't know what they believe. You have to tell them. I said, you guys believe 20 billion years ago there was a Big Bang, and then about 4.6 billion years ago the earth cooled down and developed a hard rocky crust. And it rained on the rocks for millions of years. Yes, the earth's surface was hot and there were large pools of bubbling lava, but it began to rain. And the oceans formed as it rained for millions of years. Millions of years of torrential rains created great oceans. You think kids are being taught this in your school right now? Sure they are, okay? And swirling in the waters of the oceans is a bubbling broth of complex chemicals. Progress from a complex chemical soup to a living organism is very slow. Well, I guess it is. Totally stopped. Doesn't happen at all. That's how slow it is. This one says, the first self-replicating systems must have emerged in this organic soup. So I said, you know, you guys believe 20 billion years ago there was a Big Bang, and then 4.6 billion years ago the Earth formed. And it rained on the rocks for millions of years and turned them into soup. And the soup came alive about 3 billion years ago. And this early life form found somebody to marry. Pretty good trick. And something to eat, of course. And slowly evolved into everything we see today. One professor was getting pretty upset about that time. I seem to do that to them. He said, Hovind, don't you know there are hundreds of different varieties of dogs in the world? I said, oh, yeah, there sure are. He said, you mean to tell me that you believe all those dogs came from just 2 dogs on Noah's Ark? You expect me to believe that? Ha, ha, ha. I said, sir, would you look at what you're teaching your students? You're teaching your students that all the dogs in the world came from a rock. He didn't have any more questions after that. See, going from microevolution, which is observable, to macroevolution is a giant leap of faith and logic. Macroevolution is assumed, it is religious, it is unscriptural, it is a fantasy based upon imagination. And students are given examples of microevolution to try to make them believe in macroevolution. See, no one has ever seen any gradual evolution like Darwin predicted. None of it has ever been observed. And so now they're saying, well, maybe things happened quickly. It's just like any cult, they confuse the terms. If I said, I've got a new Mercedes for $10, how many of you would line up to come buy that Mercedes? Okay? And when you get to the door, I say, oops, hey, I'm sorry, it's actually $99,000. That's called bait and switch, isn't it? That's illegal in advertising. People go to jail for that. But what's happening in our textbooks is kids are being baited to believe in evolution, and then they're switching the terms on them. Somebody ought to go to jail for this one. They're going to say, evolution means descent with modification. Well, that's a fact. That happens. You probably look different than your grandparents. But you're still people. They give them examples of microevolution. Now watch this. Watch how they change this in the textbook. Definition number one, evolution is change over time. Oh, is that really what you mean? Let's see how they further refine it. Definition number two, living things have changed over time. Oh, now they skipped all the way down to step four, didn't they? What happened to the first, what happened to Big Bang? You know, cosmic evolution, chemical evolution. Where'd those go? They're refining it down. Now, then they say, evolution is defined as a change in species over time. Oh, that's definition number three. Now they've defined it down to microevolution, which is what I believe in. Species change over time. You probably believe in that too. But the change is limited. See, they slip in the other definitions as the students get more educated. They slip in cosmic evolution and organic evolution, and the students just assume it's part of the theory. And then they are told, if you don't believe in evolution, you don't understand science. I think I do. I taught it for 15 years. I understand it pretty good. And macroevolution is not part of science. See, variations happen, but they have limits. Haven't the farmers been trying to get bigger pigs for a long time? Do you think you'll ever get a pig as big as Texas? I bet there's a limit in there somewhere. But, you know, roaches become resistant to pesticides after a while. You think they'll ever become resistant to a sledgehammer? Probably not. There's a limit in there. See, they produce the same kind of animal. That's not evolution. Information for the variation was already present in the gene pool. Nothing new is ever added with mutations or variations, and the gene pool is more limited. Somebody spent years and years developing the Chihuahua. Think about that. All that work to make a dog that's 100% useless. How long would the Chihuahuas last out in the woods? Turn them loose and let's see. He'd run up to the wolf, yip, 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 crunch. End of gene pool. See, genetic information is lost. It's not added when you get a variation. There's no new information added. And I come from Illinois, corn country, and they get lots of varieties of corn. There are so many kinds of corn, they number them. You drive down the highway and you'll see a BX65, don't mix it up with XL29, something will blow up. But I'll tell you what, folks, you can crossbreed your corn from now till the cows come home and you're always going to get corn. You'll never get a hamster or a tomato or a whale to grow on that corn stalk, okay? See, variations happen, but they have limits. Probably dogs came from a common ancestor, a dog. Probably the horses and the zebras came from a common ancestor, and it looked like a horse. I don't argue with that. That's microevolution. Probably cows came from a common ancestor. And sometimes there are things that change, but the changes have limits. See, James Hutton wrote a book and took away the idea that the earth is 6,000 years old. Along came Charles Lyell and took away the idea of a flood. And then along came Charlie Darwin and took away the creator. And if you want to see what happened because of that philosophy of evolution in the mid-1800s and how it led to the rise of communism, socialism, Marxism, Nazism, the New World Order, but those three false teachings are still in our textbooks today. Students are still being taught that same stuff. And there's no evidence for it at all. The Bible warned us about science that is falsely so-called. Professor at Harvard University said, as were many persons from Alabama, I was a born-again Christian. When I was 15, I entered the Southern Baptist Church with great fervor and interest in the fundamentalist religion. I left at 17 when I got to the University of Alabama and heard about evolution theory. I wonder how many kids have now gone through his class and had their faith destroyed. You know, 75% of the kids that go from Christian homes to secular schools lose their faith. 75%. And some of you parents are going to send your kid off to a secular school because you want him to be able to make more money. We know where your heart is, don't we? I collect textbooks. I've got hundreds of them. I taught science, love the subject. When I get bored, you can ask my wife, I read a science textbook. I just love reading about science. And kids love to learn, and everybody I like to teach. And so, but if you're going to use false information to convert somebody to your belief, ooh, now that's not good. And what's happening in these textbooks, they're giving the kids false information, lying to them, to try to make them believe in evolution. Because we see no evidence of any gradual change, they say, well, maybe it happened quickly. Abrupt appearance is now the current theory. This textbook gives the kids whole chapters on evolution. It says we've got evidence from fossils, evidence from structure, from molecular biology, evidence from development. Then they're going to say natural selection and mutations cause evolution. Now, wait a minute. Evolution is actually based on two faulty assumptions. They're going to say mutations make something new. Nobody's ever seen that happen. And natural selection makes it survive. And nobody's ever seen that happen. They're both imagination. It's true mutations happen. Did you know the original rose only had 5 petals? It looks sort of like a daisy. Somebody capitalized on a mutated rose, and now nearly all the roses you see in the store are mutants of the original rose. But it's still a rose. It's a flower. That's a variation, and it's in the same kind of animal. See, mutations do not produce any kind of evolution at all. Here's a 5-legged bull. He can't run any faster. Notice the bull got an extra leg. He did not get a wing, a feather, or a beak. Doesn't a bull already have the gene pool information to make a leg? Sure. He just made one in the wrong place, that's all. See, it's no added information. It's scrambled information. Here's a short-legged sheep. Look what the textbook says. This mutation would not last in nature. Well, of course not, man. He's the first one the wolf is going to catch. Go, boys, go. Here comes the wolf. Matt Herman didn't make it. Here's a 2-headed turtle. That's a mutant. Not ninja, but he's mutant. See, he's going to freeze first winter. Nobody makes a double-neck turtleneck sweater. See, mutations happen, but they're harmful or fatal. It's a scrambling of information that is pre-existing. You can scramble up the letters of the word Christmas and get lots of different words, but you never get Xerox, zebra, or queen. The information isn't there. This textbook shows the kids a fruit fly. Look what it says here. Normal fruit flies have 2 wings. This mutant has 4. This rare mutation, like most mutations, is harmful. Beneficial mutations are the raw material for natural selection. Well, why didn't they show us one? Why did they show the kids a bad mutation and say the good ones is how it works? Show us a good one. You know why they didn't show a good one? There ain't none. Nobody's ever seen a good mutation. I was in a debate one time and this professor said, we've got a good mutation. I said, what is it? He said, did you know people in Africa that have sickle cell anemia cannot get malaria? I said, let me see if I got this understood now. That means if I cut off my feet, I can't get athlete's foot. That's a good mutation. Try again, would you please? Brother. They tell the kids, evolution and natural selection go together. This textbook says, natural selection causes evolution. Well, there's no question natural selection happens, okay? Creation has thought of it first. Natural selection is a conservative process. It keeps the species strong. That's all it does. It cannot make any new organisms. It can't create anything. And natural selection is useless for evolution. If you worked in a factory that produced cars, and your job was to check the cars, you're in quality control, okay? And if anything's wrong, it's rejected. How long would it take that process to change the car to an airplane? Quality control doesn't change the car to something else. It just makes sure you have a good car. That's all, right? And natural selection doesn't change the species to something else. It just makes sure the species stays strong. That's all that it can do. It can't create anything new. See, survival of the fittest is the term they use, but that doesn't explain the arrival of the fittest. It doesn't tell you how it got there. See, survival of the fittest is what is called a tautology. It is a phrase that means nothing. Ask a professor, say, why did it survive? He says, oh, because it's the fittest. Oh, really? How do you know it's the fittest? Because it survived. Oh, you can go a long ways on that one, can't you? See, survival of the fittest isn't what happens, folks. If a whale goes through a school of fish and eats 80% of them, it's really survival of the luckiest. That's more likely what happens. A lot of these folks make these good observations and come to the wrong conclusions. Maybe you heard about the professors were going to see how far the frog could jump. They put this big old frog down and said, "Jump, frog!" That big old frog jumped 80 inches. They brought him back, cut off one leg. He said, "Jump, frog!" He only jumped 70. They brought him back, cut off another leg. He said, "Jump, frog!" He only went 60. They brought him back, cut off another leg. He said, "Jump, frog!" He only went 50. They brought him back and cut off his last leg. He said, "Jump, frog!" You know, they expected he'd go about 40. He went 0. They were baffled. They tried the experiment again. New frog. And got the same results. They yelled and screamed and hollered at that frog. He just flat didn't move. So they came to the conclusion, you know, a frog jumps less as his legs are removed. That's a good observation. You got to admit, you got to give him credit for that one. Then they said, well, we must conclude that a frog with no legs goes deaf. No, bad conclusion. You had a good observation going there, but you blew it with your results. You see, they did the experiments with the fruit flies. They nuked them and microwaved them, and they got all kinds of mutated flies. They got flies with curled wings. They fly around, zzz, 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 couldn't go anywhere. Flies with no wings. What do you call that? A crawl? You can't fly. They got all kinds of mutated flies, and they said, you know, boys and girls, we got lots of mutated flies, and this is proof for evolution. Guess what the proof is here? The fly's wings are 4% larger. That proves evolution. I think they're pretty desperate for evidence for their theory, you know what I mean? They said all mutations were produced flies that were inferior. I agree with that. Then they said, this proves fruit flies must have evolved as far as they can go. No. Why don't you conclude that God made them right to begin with? Wouldn't that be a reasonable conclusion from the data? Then they did the peppered moth. Maybe you heard about that one, you know. Somebody went around and counted the moths on the trees. Must have been a government project. They discovered it was 95% light moths and 5% black. And then they started burning coal in the factories and the trees turned black, or so the story goes, and the moth population changed to 95% black moths and 5% light. It turns out a couple years ago they discovered the entire experiment was a fake. They glued dead moths to the trees to take that picture for your textbook. After 40 years of watching, they found 2 moths on the trees. 2 in 40 years. So the guy took moths and kept them in the refrigerator so they'd hold still for the picture when the bird was eating them. He had to warm them up on the hood of his car to get them to move around a little bit and put them on the tree where they could barely hang on and then put a bird there to eat one. They got a picture real quick. That's the picture in your textbook. And the kids are being taught this stuff as evidence for evolution. It's true the moth population could have shifted if the trees turned black. They didn't observe that, though. But that doesn't help prove that we all came from a rock. It's tragic. The kids are being taught this kind of stuff. The peppered moth is proof of design. But I want you to see this here. Students are given stuff like this in their textbooks. Boys and girls, we're going to learn how to think critically. Do you think humans are still evolving? What kind of question is that? That's one of those questions like, have you stopped beating your wife yet? Well, if I say yes, I'm admitting I did. If I say no, then I'm still doing it. Doesn't the question they ask the kids assume evolution happened? What if a kid doesn't believe in evolution at all? How's he supposed to answer that question? They can't. That's not a question to teach them how to think critically. That's an indoctrination type question. That's Soviet style. That teaches them what to think, not how to think. Then they tell them, we've got evidence from structure. This is called the homology argument. Now, the kids are still being taught this, even though it's not true. They're going to say, boys and girls, notice the 4 limbs of different animals. Did you know that you have 2 bones in your wrist, and they're called the radius and the ulna? Mm-hmm. And, boys and girls, did you know that the whale has 2 bones in his flipper? And guess what? They're called the radius and the ulna. Wow. Who named them, teacher? The whale? I don't think so. Yes, boys and girls, these similar 4 limb structures is proof for evolution. This is what they tell them. Comparative anatomy provides further evidence of evolution. The commonalities suggest these animals are all related. They probably evolved from a common ancestor. Excuse me, sir, there might be another way to look at this. Maybe they all evolved from a common designer. Maybe the same guy designed them all.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't the kids taught that? They're going to say, you know, four-limb structures are similar on different animals. That's true. That's a good observation. They must have had a common ancestor. Wrong. Hold it right there. Bad conclusion. Jump, frog, jump. This helps prove we came from a rock. Oh, now you got a really bad conclusion there. They're going to tell them we have evidence from development. Darwin was convinced of his own theory because of the evidence done by other folks, this writings done by other people, showing embryos of different creatures. This embryonic development helped convince Darwin that evolution was a fact. And textbooks today are still teaching this. This one says the human embryo has gills like a fish. Those are not gills. That's a lie, folks, proven wrong a long time ago. Those little folds of skin under the chin turn into bones in the ear and glands in the throat. They never have anything to do with breathing. I've seen fat people with five or six chins. They can't breathe through any of them but the top one. Ernst Haeckel made this whole thing up in 1869. He read Darwin's book and got converted to believing in evolution. And then he said, you know, there's got to be evidence for the theory. He couldn't find any, so he made some. He took drawings of a dog and a human embryo and changed them and made them look just alike. He lied. On top are the actual right drawings. Underneath are his drawings, changed to look alike. He lied. He made whole charts and traveled all over Germany, and he did seminars on evolution to convince people to believe the theory. 1860s. Which later led to the idea that the German race is superior, they've evolved farther, which led straight to Adolf Hitler. Ernst Haeckel's drawings are fake. He lied. He was proven to be a liar in 1874. His own university held a trial and convicted him of fraud. So in 1874, this idea was proven wrong. On top are his drawings. Underneath are actual photographs of those creatures. Now, either he's a real lousy artist or he's a liar. But guess what? That exact same chart that Haeckel used is still used in textbooks today. Universities all across America, students are taught this as a fact of science. 1994, Holt Biology still teaches the gill slits. Glencoe Biology still teaches gill slits on the human embryo. College textbooks are still teaching the embryo has gill slits. That's just a lie. Arms and Camp, one of the worst textbooks there is, shows the kids a 5-week embryo, but then it says by 7 months the fetus looks from the outside like a tiny baby, but it is not. It's not a baby at 7 months. Excuse me, a whole bunch of kids born at 5.5 months survive. Maybe you saw the picture of the doctor doing surgery on the baby inside the mother's uterus, and the baby grabbed the doctor's finger. Let's see, the angel of the Lord said, behold, thou art with fetus. No, I believe he said you're with child, didn't he? See, it's a child the instant it's conceived, folks. But they keep this lie in the textbooks as evidence of the theory because they want to justify abortion. That's the only reason it's in there. And I guarantee you, go home and look in any town, USA, get your biology textbooks, and that concept of gill slits will be in there, even though it's been proven wrong 125 years ago. Because you have to justify abortion. See, the Lord told the devil in the Garden of Eden, after he tricked Eve, he said, that's it, fella. You're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust the rest of your life. And the Lord said, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. The devil knows someday some seed of the woman is going to bruise his head. And he's not looking forward to that. So the devil decided he's going to kill every human being on the planet. He hates humans. Anybody remember what Herod did when he wanted to kill baby Jesus? Killed all the kids, right? Just kill them all. Be sure to get the right one. And Satan is not sure who's going to bruise his head. So what he's done, he's put the idea into some of his followers. He's put that idea into their head that they really ought to reduce the population because we're hurting Mother Earth. What those idiots don't know is when they get done reducing the population, Satan is going to reduce them also. See, the population today is about 6 billion people. They would like to reduce the population to 500 million as soon as possible, this year if possible. I hope they don't reach their goal. I'm not predicting they will, but they really want to reduce the population. We have people like Jacques Cousteau who said we need to eliminate 350,000 people a day to save the planet. Go outside of Atlanta, Georgia, halfway to South Carolina, see the town of Elberton, go 7 miles north on Highway 77. Look, go 100 yards to the right, and you will see the Georgia Guidestones, which have the Ten Commandments for the New Age in 12 languages. Commandment number one says, maintain humanity under 1.5 billion. Excuse me, it is already 6 billion. How are you going to maintain it under 0.5 billion? Looks to me like somebody has to go, right? This guy said, people are the cause of all the problems. We need to get rid of some of them. The world has cancer. The cancer is man. Folks, this is the evil philosophy we have to face in this world. Ted Turner, the president of the Communist News Network, said we need a 95% decline in the population. Okay, Ted, you first. Yeah. Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth, she's the one who invented the microwave. You'll get that in about a week. Never mind. Prince Philip said, if I could be reincarnated, I would wish to return to Earth as a killer virus to lower human population levels. By the way, before you get any vaccines of any kind for anything, I'm talking flu vaccine or anything, before you get any vaccinations, I recommend you read that book right there. Or get on the website, tetrahedron.org. Just do some research. Don't just trust the doctor. Just research. I mean, it's your body. You've got to live in it the rest of your life. Okay? Anna Rosa was a botched abortion. She had her arm chopped off. Maybe you heard about that one. I live in Pensacola, Florida. We've had two doctors shot and killed in my town that were performing abortions. We've had several clinics blown up and burned down. I didn't blow up any clinics, and I didn't shoot any doctors. And I don't think Jesus would have done it that way either, okay? Jesus grew up under Roman control. He didn't go around blowing up tanks and burning down bridges. But the doctors were murderers, plain and simple. When the first doctor got shot, I happened to be preaching in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Then the next day, I flew home to Pensacola. Right in front of me on the airplane were two women from NOW, the National Organization for Wild Women. They were going to march up to Pensacola and march around town, hold up their signs, you know, pro-choice, pro-choice. As we got off the plane, walking down the gangway, I noticed on their shirt they had in huge block letters, choice above all. So being my mild-mannered self, I said, excuse me, ladies, what does this mean, choice above all? They said, we believe a woman ought to have a right to choose. I said, choose what? She said, choose if she wants to have an abortion. It's her body, you know. Well, yes, ma'am, if she wants to abort her body, I suppose that's fine. But it looks to me like she wants to abort somebody else's body. I said, ma'am, I'm kind of curious about this. I've got 3 kids, one of each. I delivered one of my kids at home. I taught biology and anatomy. I used to raise hamsters. I said, I'm kind of familiar with how this works. I said, would you please tell me why the woman's right to choice stops at birth? If it's really right to choice you're worried about, let's let the mother choose to kill the baby after it's born. By the way, that's already here, folks. I said, I got a brilliant idea. Let's extend abortion rights up until the kid's 2 years old. I know a lot of mothers with a 2-year-old that have thought about it a time or two. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I know you're out there. Hey, I got an idea. Let's extend abortion rights up until the kid is 18. I bet they'd behave a lot better. Johnny, one more time and I'm going to abort you. Hey, teacher, where's Johnny today? Well, he didn't do his homework yesterday, so his mommy aborted him. Hey, grades would skyrocket, folks, I'm telling you. Well, the ladies, women, didn't want to talk about it anymore, so they went and got their luggage and I got mine, you know. And I'm talking to this cameraman. He showed up for the rally from Chicago, you know, and he's going to film this rally. I thought, hold it, 6 people are going to march around town. It's going to get worldwide news. You can get 100,000 people to line your streets against abortion and it won't make the news. That's one of the reasons I refuse to take the local newspaper. I don't want to help pay those guys' salary to put their liberalism into the rest of the county. We get a call once a month. Yeah. You can ask them in my office when they call. They say, Mr. Hovind, would you like to take the Pensacola News Journal? A journal? I always say, no, sorry, we don't have a parakeet. That's what I tell him. Well, we don't. He died. Okay. Anyway, but the news media always calls them pro-choice. Have you noticed that? Pro-choice? That's kind of a nice sounding term. They call us anti-abortion. How about let's call them pro-death and call us pro-life? Yeah. The news media is so slanted to the left. For instance, when the kids got shot in Colorado, how many of you remember that? Okay. Right away, the news media jumped on the wrong subject. They jumped on the issue of gun control, didn't they? You know, when a bunch of kids get shot in your schools, maybe it's time to consider a couple of other things, like maybe the question is, should we have public schools? Huh? Maybe it's time to at least consider the option of, should we teach these kids evolution, which says there is no God and there are no moral absolutes? Yeah? Let's consider that one. By the way, the two kids that did the shooting, they did it on Hitler's birthday on purpose. They were strong followers of Adolf Hitler and his Nazi and Aryan supremacy. They shot Isaiah Soles just because he was black. Scholes. Eric's t-shirt said natural selection. They were strong believers in evolution. And they talked to each other in German when they met in the hall. Nothing wrong with German. Ich spreche Deutsch, kleine bisschen. But that's, I mean, they were strong believers. The reason they did this is because of their teaching in evolution. When a bunch of kids get shot in your school, maybe it's time to consider some other topics, you know, like should certain criminals be publicly executed? They were dragging this guy in France up to the guillotine to chop his head off, you know, and somebody from the crowd hollered out, do you think this will deter crime? I said, it will for him. Certainly will. Maybe it's time to consider the subject, you know, maybe all law-abiding citizens should be required to carry guns. Yeah. I mean, suppose every teacher in Columbine High School is required to be armed. Just suppose. Okay, suppose. Those kids are out there shooting everybody in the classroom, in the hallway. Any kid can run to any teacher. Teacher, teacher, there's boys out there shooting people. Okay, kids, read page 37. I'll be right back. Case closed, right? Folks, we have gone nuts in this country. I'm a strong believer in gun control. I really am. Gun control is being able to hold it steady and hit the target. But you know, the logic they use to justify abortion is insane. They're going to say, well, it's not human. I'm sorry, that was only proven wrong in 1874. They're going to say it's not viable. It can't live on its own. Well, you're not viable either, stark naked on the North Pole. Just think about that logic. Well, it can't live on its own, therefore we can kill it. I know kids that are 25 that still come home and borrow money from Dad. Hey, Dad, can I borrow some money? You ought to be able to live on your own by now, son. They're going to say the child may be unwanted. There's kids that are already born that are unwanted. My parents moved 4 times when I was growing up, but I found them every time. They're going to say the child may be a financial burden. Well, show me a kid that's not. They're going to say it might be from rape or incest. Well, then you killed the rapist, not the baby. One doctor got kind of upset with me. He said, oh, what if a woman is raped and she gets pregnant? Should she be forced to have that baby? I said, well, doc, that's terrible, but let's just pretend it happens. And let's pretend she does have the baby, and 5 years later she's holding her 5-year-old, cooking supper, and it reminds her of the horrible experience 5.5 years ago, and she kills the 5-year-old. Is it murder? He said, yeah. I said, what if she would have killed it 5 months after it was born? Would it still be murder? He said, oh, yeah. I said, oh, okay, good. What if she would have killed it, 5 minutes after it was born? He got real quiet. He could see where I was going. Remember Lot and the angels and Sodom, you know? I said, what if she would have killed it 5 minutes before it was born? Still murder. But see, this idea of the gill slits is one of the things they're using as evidence for evolution, and that's what justifies abortion. Look, if you really want to have choice, okay, next time somebody says, I'm pro-choice, Well, let's just really choose, okay? When somebody goes in for abortion, the nurse is going to have a jar of marbles. We're going to have a lottery. One of the marbles says baby, one says mother, and one says father. Let's put one more in there for doctor, and put another one for governor, and then let's put a whole bunch of them in there for president. And let's really choose, okay? Hey, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but everybody, without exception, everybody that has voted for abortion has already been born. Think about that one for a while. They're going to say, well, abortion's legal. That doesn't make it right. 1936, German Supreme Court declared Jews are not persons. So when Hitler killed the Jews, it was perfectly legal. Let me ask you a question. Was it right? It was murder, wasn't it? Absolutely murder. And while they slaughtered the millions of people, Hitler's philosophy was based on evolution. He said the Germans are the superior race that deserve to rule the world. Hitler, the German Führer, has consistently sought to make the practice of Germany conform to the theory of evolution. See, Hitler thought the German race was superior. I've been reading his book, Mein Kampf, absolutely a boring book to read. But Hitler said, the German race is superior. He said, nature does not desire the mating of a higher with a lower race. Who's a higher race, Adolf? He thought the Aryans were superior. You've got to read his book. He offered to send the Jews to America on luxury ships, and Roosevelt refused to accept them. By the way, the family name used to be Rosenfeld, a Jewish name. Not that that's good or bad, it's just a fact, okay? Hitler thought the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Norwegians were pure Aryan. Did you catch all that? Blonde hair, blue-eyed, Norwegian. Vordenstortetillidag. Yeah, sure, you betcha. The Germans were mostly Aryan. The Mediterraneans are slightly Aryan. The Slavics are half Aryan, half ape. The Orientals are slightly ape. The black Africans are mostly ape. And the Jews are close to pure ape. There's his list, folks. That's why he killed the Jews. The blacks would have been next. We don't have time to finish all the stuff we have on supremacy, on Aryan supremacy. But the guy stood in the courtroom in Nuremberg. I was there a couple years ago. And they said, we did nothing wrong. We were just following orders. That's correct. And the abortion doctors are not breaking the law. Not man's law, anyway. But it's still murder. And that's one of the ideas that's used to justify abortion. Man, we don't have time to go into all this now, but 3 minutes. Okay, I'm hurrying. The stuff they use to justify this theory of evolution, though, has all been proven wrong. They say we have evidence for the theory like the vestigial appendix. The appendix is not vestigial. It's part of your immune system. If you take out your appendix, you're much more susceptible to diseases. Now, it is true you can live without your appendix, okay? You can live without both your legs and both your arms, too. It doesn't mean you don't need it. This textbook tells the kids, just imagine whales walking around. It's true. They say the whale has a vestigial pelvis. Wait a minute, a vestigial pelvis? Right there are those bones they're talking about. Can you imagine that thing dragging the whale around? Those aren't vestigial pelvis bones. Those are anchor points that muscles attach to. And without those muscles, the whales cannot reproduce. It has nothing to do with walking on land. It has to do with getting baby whales. But they tell the kids, this whale, this is the evidence they present in the textbooks today. They say, this guy says, humans have a tailbone that is of no apparent use. I had an atheist tell me one time in a debate, he said, the human tailbone is vestigial. We don't need it anymore. I said, sir, I taught biology and anatomy. I happen to know there are 9 little muscles that attach to the tailbone, without which you cannot perform some very valuable functions. I won't tell you what they all are, but trust me, you need those muscles. I said, however, if you think the tailbone is vestigial, I, Kent Hovind, will pay to have yours removed. Bend over. Folks, there are no vestigial structures. But if there was, that's the opposite of evolution. I think these folks are getting pretty desperate with this theory, looking for evidence. Everything they've ever come up with for evidence for evolution has been proven wrong. And so you get guys like Stephen Gould who are saying, this is what we're supposed to get to right here. Right there.
No, one more. Right there. The new theory is punctuated equilibrium, abrupt appearance. The idea says, you know, maybe a reptile laid an egg and a bird hatched out. Oh, yeah. Who did Mary? This is the current theory now that a lot of evolutionists believe. Because we've seen no evidence for gradual changes, evolution must have happened quickly. See, in their brain, there's only two choices. Evolution happened slowly or evolution happened quickly. There's another choice. Didn't happen. Oh, they don't want to consider that because that means there might be a creator. And if there's a creator, there might be some rules. And if there are some rules, they might be breaking those rules, and the creator might be upset with them, and they might be judged for their lifestyle. And rather than admit they're sinful, they reject the creator concept. And the reason your kids in your schools are being taught evolution is because somebody doesn't like the idea of God telling them what to do. The idea of a creator chaps their hide. Well, you better get some Vaseline, man, because we're going to be judged by that creator, whether you like it or not. We're going to all stand before God one of these days and be judged. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you're going to hell. You might say, I don't believe in hell. God doesn't care what you believe in. Did you know God does not believe in atheists? Adolf Hitler said something interesting. He said, let me control the textbooks and I will control the state. What's in these books anyway? Pretty on the outside, beautiful, expensive, deadly. Do you have any neighbors or friends that are going to public school? Maybe you ought to get some information and rescue them from the brainwashing they're getting. That's why our ministry exists. My material is not copyrighted. You can use anything I've got. Get some stuff out there. Go see Dan or one of the guys. Honestly, we want to strengthen your faith in the Word of God. Thank you so much for joining us.
If you'd like a catalog of all of Compass audio or videotapes, call Compass at 1-800-977-2177. Or you can write to Compass at 460 Canfield Avenue, Suite 1000, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 83815.